Chapter 9, Title Transfer and Records. Meaning of Title. The term title has three meanings. 1. Title is a way of referring to ownership. It is not an actual printed piece of paper. 2. Title to real estate means the right to ownership or actual ownership of the land. It represents the owner's bundle of rights. 3. Title also serves as evidence of that ownership of real estate. This is indicated by a deed or a piece of paper. A person who holds the title would, if challenged in court, be able to recover or retain ownership or possession of a parcel of real estate by providing the court with a copy of his or her deed. Real estate is transferred when the owner passes a deed to the new owner. It must be recorded to give public notice of new ownership. The Illinois Statute of Frauds requires that any contracts for the sale of land or for leases that are for more than 1 year from the date they are entered into must be in writing to be enforceable in court. Requirements for a valid deed. The following are the minimum requirements for a valid deed in Illinois. Grantor, who has the legal capacity to execute, sign the deed. Grantee named with reasonable certainty to be identified. Recital of consideration. Granting clause, words of conveyance, together with any words of limitation. Accurate legal description of the property conveyed. Any relevant exceptions or reservations. Signature of the grantor, sometimes with a seal, witness, or acknowledgement. Delivery of the deed and acceptance by the grantee to pass title. Habendum clause defines ownership taken by the grantee. The habendum clause begins with the words to have and to hold. Its provisions must agree with those stated in the granting clause. If there is a discrepancy, the granting clause prevails. Grantor. A grantor must be of lawful age, at least 18 years old. A deed executed by a minor is usually voidable. A grantor also must be of sound mind. Generally, any grantor who can understand the action is viewed as mentally capable of executing a valid deed. A deed executed by someone who was mentally impaired at the time is voidable, but not automatically void. If, however, the grantor has been judged legally incompetent, the deed will be void. Real estate owned by someone who is legally incompetent can be conveyed only with a court's approval. The grantor's name must be spelled correctly and consistently throughout the deed. If the grantor's name has been changed since the title was acquired, as when a person changes her name by marriage, both names should be shown, for example, Mary Smith, formerly Mary Jones. Grantee. To be valid, a deed must name a grantee. The grantee must be specifically named so that the person to whom the property is being conveyed can be readily identified from the deed itself. However, the grantee, new owner, is not required to sign the deed. If more than one grantee is involved, the granting clause should specify their rights in the property. The clause might state, for instance, that the grantees will take title as joint tenants, tenants in common, or tenants by the entirety. This is especially important when specific wording is necessary to create a joint tenancy or tenancy by the entirety. The purchaser's or grantee's present address is required in Illinois as an element of a valid deed. Also, if no specific form of ownership is selected, tenancy in common is assumed in Illinois. One can determine, then, how ownership is held by consulting the deed language. Consideration. A valid deed must contain a clause acknowledging that the grantor has received consideration. However, the actual selling price is never contained in the deed. Generally, the amount of consideration is stated in dollars. When a deed conveys real estate as a gift to a relative, love and affection may be sufficient consideration. In most states, however, it is customary to recite at least a nominal consideration, such as $10 and other good and valuable consideration. Granting clause, words of conveyance. A deed must contain a granting clause that states the grantor's intention to convey the property. Depending on the type of deed and the obligations agreed to by the grantor, discussed later in this chapter, the wording would be similar to one of the following. I, Kent Long, convey and warrant. Creates a warranty deed. I, Kent Long, remise, release, alienate, and convey. Creates a special warranty deed. I, Kent Long, grant, bargain, and sell. Creates a bargain and sale deed. I, Kent Long, remise, release, and quitclaim. Creates a quitclaim deed, a deed that conveys the grantor's entire fee simple absolute interest, usually contains wording such as, to ABC and to her heirs, and assigns forever. If the grantor conveys less than her complete interest, such as a life estate, the wording must indicate this limitation. For example, to ABC for the duration of her natural life. Legal description of real estate. To be valid, a deed must contain an accurate legal description of the real estate conveyed. Land is considered adequately described if a competent surveyor can locate the property using the description. Exceptions and reservations. A valid deed must specifically note any encumbrances, reservations, or limitations that affect the title being conveyed. This might include such things as restrictions and easements that run with the land. In addition to citing existing encumbrances, a grantor may reserve some right to the land, such as an easement, for the grantor's use. A grantor may also place certain restrictions on a grantee's use of the property. Developers often restrict the number of houses that may be built on each lot in a subdivision. Such private restrictions must be stated in the deed or contained in a previously recorded document, such as the subdivider's master deed, which is expressly referred to in the deed. Many of these deed restrictions have time limits and often include renewal clauses. Signature of grantor. To be valid, a deed must be signed by all grantors named in the deed. Most states permit an attorney in fact to sign for a grantor. The attorney in fact must act under a power of attorney, the specific written authority to execute and sign one or more legal instruments for another person. Acknowledgement notarization. An acknowledgement, also called notarization, is a formal declaration that the person who signs a written document does so voluntarily and that her signature is genuine. In Illinois, acknowledgement notarization is not essential to the validity of the deed. However, unless the deed is acknowledged, it may not be introduced as evidence in a court of law without some further proof of its execution. As a result, it is customary that virtually all documents conveying title are acknowledged notarized. Delivery and acceptance. A title is not considered transferred until the deed is actually delivered to and accepted by the grantee. The grantor may deliver the deed to the grantee either personally or through a third party. In an arm's-length transaction, the title must be delivered during the grantor's lifetime and accepted during the grantee's lifetime. The effective date of the transfer of title from the grantor to the grantee is the date of delivery of the deed itself. When a deed is delivered in escrow, the date of delivery generally relates back to the date of deposit with the escrow agent. Execution of corporate deeds. The laws governing a corporation's right to convey real estate vary from state to state. However, two basic rules must be followed. A corporation can convey real estate only by authority granted in its bylaws or upon resolution passed by its board of directors. If all or a substantial portion of a corporation's real estate is being conveyed, a resolution authorizing the sale must usually be secured from the shareholders. Deeds to corporate real estate can be signed only by an authorized officer. A deed is a document that transfers real property while a bill of sale is used to transfer personal property. Types of deeds. A deed can take several forms, depending on the extent of the grantor's pledges to the grantee. Regardless of any guarantees the deed offers, however, the grantee will want additional assurance that the grantor has the right to offer what the deed conveys. To obtain this protection, grantees commonly seek evidence of title. The most common deed forms are General Warranty Deed, Special Warranty Deed, Bargain and Sale Deed, Quitclaim Deed, Deed in Trust, Trustee's Deed, and Deed Executed Pursuant to a Court Order. General Warranty Deed. A general warranty deed provides the greatest protection of any deed. It is called a general warranty deed because the grantor is legally bound by certain covenants or warranties, promises. Covenant of season, the grantor warrants that she owns the property and has the right to convey title to it. Season simply means a possession. The grantee may recover damages up to the full purchase price if this covenant is broken. Covenant against encumbrances, the grantor warrants that the property is free from liens or encumbrances, except for any specifically stated in the deed. Encumbrances generally include mortgages, mechanics liens, and easements. If this covenant is breached, the grantee may sue for the cost of removing the encumbrances. Covenant of quiet enjoyment, the grantor guarantees that the grantee's title will be good against third parties who might bring court actions to establish superior title to the property. If the grantee's title is found to be inferior, the grantor is liable for damages. Covenant of further assurance, the grantor promises to obtain and deliver any instrument needed to make the title good. For example, if the grantor's spouse has failed to sign away dower rights, the grantor must deliver a quitclaim deed, discussed later, to clear the title. Covenant of warranty forever, the grantor promises to compensate the grantee for the loss sustained if the title fails at any time in the future. Illinois law provides that a deed using the words convey and warrant implies and includes all covenants of general warranty, which are as binding on the grantor, his her heirs, and personal representatives as if written at length in the deed. These covenants in a general warranty deed are not limited to matters that occurred during the time the grantor owned the property. They extend back to its origins. The grantor defends the title against herself and against all others as predecessors in title. In addition, it is sufficient for a general warranty deed to recite only nominal consideration. Special warranty deed. A special warranty deed contains two basic warranties. One, a warranty that the grantor received title to. Warranty that the property was not encumbered during the time the grantor held title, except as otherwise noted in the deed in effect. The grantor defends the title against herself, but not against previous encumbrances. The granting clause generally contains the words, grantor remises, releases, alienates, and conveys. The grantor may include additional warranties, but they must be specifically stated in the deed. In areas where a special warranty deed is more commonly used, the purchase of title insurance is viewed as providing adequate protection to the grantee. Bargain and sale deed. In some states, a bargain and sale deed contains no express warranties against encumbrances. It does, however, imply that the grantor holds title and possession of the property. The words in the granting clause are le grant, bargain, and sell. A grant, bargain, and sale deed conveys a simple title with the following covenants. 1. The grantor holds a fee simple estate. 2. The title is free from encumbrances made by the grantor except those listed in the deed, and 3. The grantor warrants quiet enjoyment. An Illinois bargain and sale deed is similar to a warranty deed but less complete in its warranties. The buyer should purchase title insurance for protection. Quitclaim deed. A quitclaim deed provides the grantee with the least protection of any deed. It carries no covenants or warranties and generally conveys only whatever interest the grantor may have when the deed is delivered. If the grantor has no interest, the grantee will acquire nothing. A quitclaim deed can convey title as effectively as a warranty deed if the grantor has good title when she delivers the deed, but it provides none of the guarantees that a warranty deed does. Through a quitclaim deed, the grantor only remises, releases, and quitclaims her interest in the property, if any. A quitclaim deed frequently is used to cure a defect, called a cloud on the title. For example, if the name of the grantee is misspelled on a warranty deed filed with the recorder of deeds. In Illinois, a quitclaim deed uses the words convey and quitclaim, and conveys in fee all the grantor's existing legal and equitable rights held at the time of delivery. Deed in trust. A deed in trust is the means by which a trustor conveys real estate to a trustee for the benefit of a beneficiary. The real estate is held by the trustee to fulfill the purpose of the trust. Trustee's deed. A deed executed by a trustee is a trustee's deed. It is used when a trustee conveys real estate held in the trust to the beneficiary. The trustee's deed must state that the trustee is executing the instrument in accordance with the powers and authority granted by the trust instrument. Deed executed pursuant to court order. Executors' and administrators' deeds, master's deeds, sheriff's deeds, and many other types are all deeds executed pursuant to a court order. These deeds are established by state statute and are used to convey title to property that is transferred by court order or by will. The form of such a deed must conform to the laws of the state in which the property is located. One common characteristic of deeds executed pursuant to court order is that the full consideration is usually stated in the deed instead of $10 and other valuable consideration. For example, the deed lists the actual sales price. Transfer tax stamps. The Illinois Real Estate Transfer Act imposes a state tax on conveying title to real estate in the amount of 50 cents per $500, or fraction thereof. In all Illinois counties, there is an additional transfer tax of 25 cents per $500, or fraction thereof. Total transfer tax to state and county combined is 75 cents per $500, or fraction thereof. The transfer tax must be paid before the recording of the deed, or before transferring the beneficial interest in a land trust. This is done by purchasing tax stamps from the county recorder or the city offices if there are local stamps required. These stamps are literally affixed to the deed. Local transfer tax. Many local municipalities have their own tax as well. Charts indicating these local transfer tax amounts are available from counties and individual municipalities. Local transfer tax can be paid by either buyer or seller, so it is important to check each municipality. The formula used in Illinois to determine the exact taxable consideration is as follows. Full actual consideration, sales price. Less value of personal property included in purchase. Less amount of mortgage to which property remains subject. Equals net total taxable consideration to be covered by stamps. Amount of Illinois state tax stamps, 50 cents per $500 or taxable amount. Amount of county tax, 25 cents per $500. Total transfer tax. Real estate transfer declaration in Illinois, the sale price must be shown on the real estate transfer declaration form. The form must be signed by the buyer and seller or their agents, and it provides for the inclusion of the property description, manner of conveyance, and type of financing used. The financing data helps the Department of Revenue accurately determine equalization factors between different counties and eliminate inconsistencies caused by the use of non-conventional or creative financing. A completed declaration must accompany every deed presented to the recorder for recording. The Cook County Recorder's Office has its own separate transfer form, which also must be presented with every deed. The information contained on the form is not confidential and is available for inspection by the public. Exempted from the transfer tax are deeds such as those conveying real estate from or between any governmental bodies, those held by charitable, religious, or educational institutions, those securing debts or releasing property as security for a debt, partitions, tax deeds, deeds pursuant to mergers of corporations, deeds from subsidiary to parent corporations for cancellation of stock, deeds subject to federal documentary stamp tax. When the actual consideration for conveyance is less than $100, the transfer is considered a gift and is exempt from tax. An exemption statement is usually typed on an exempted deed and signed before the deed is recorded. Tax stamps and land trusts. Under the Land Trust Recordation and Transfer Tax Act, a land trustee has the obligation to record a facsimile of the assignment of beneficial interest. The names of the beneficiaries need not be disclosed, and privacy is maintained. The transfer tax rate and the exemptions are the same for the assignment as for the transfer of real property. Involuntary alienation. Title to property may be transferred without the owner's consent by involuntary alienation. Involuntary transfers are usually carried out by operation of law, such as by condemnation or a sale, to satisfy delinquent tax or mortgage liens. When a person dies intestate, without a will, and leaves no heirs, the title to the real estate passes to the county, in Illinois, by the state's power of escheat. Additional land may be acquired through the process of accretion or lost through erosion, and other acts of nature, such as earthquakes, hurricanes, sinkholes, and mudslides, may add to or eliminate a landowner's holdings. Transfer by adverse possession. Adverse possession, sometimes referred to as squatter's rights, is another means of involuntary transfer. An individual who makes a claim to certain property, takes possession of, and uses it may take title away from an owner who fails to use or inspect the property for a period of years. The law recognizes that the use of land is an important function of its ownership. Usually, the possession by the claimant must be open, notorious, continuous and uninterrupted, hostile and adverse to the true owner's possession. The period of uninterrupted possession required to claim title by adverse possession is 20 years. However, if the party whose property is being claimed has color of title, that is, if the apparently good title actually is invalidated by some flaw, and if the real estate taxes on the property are paid while satisfying the other statutory requirements, the possessory period may be shortened to 7 years. Tacking on, through the principle of tacking, successive periods of different adverse possession by different adverse possessors can be combined, enabling a person who is not in possession for the entire required time to establish a claim. Transfer of property through a will. A person who dies testate, with a will, has prepared a will indicating how his or her property should be handled. Transfer of property after death, no will. In contrast, when a person dies intestate, without a will, real estate and personal property pass to the decedent's heirs according to the state's statute of descent and distribution. In effect, the state provides a will for an intestate decedent. In Illinois, when the owner of real estate dies, how title to the property was held, rather than the laws of descent and distribution or the presence of a will, may dictate who the new owners will be. If the property was owned by a husband and wife in tenancy by the entirety or was held in joint tenancy, the surviving spouse, or another owner, will automatically be the new owner. If the property was held as a life estate, it automatically reverts to the former owner or passes to a remainder man. In these cases, no probate is required. If the property was not held in joint tenancy, tenancy by the entirety, or as a life estate, and the owner left a valid will, died testate, the devisees named in the will own the real estate. If the owner died without a will, intestate, relatives would inherit the property according to the Illinois law of descent. In effect, the state makes a will for such decedents. If the owner died without a will, intestate, and left no heirs, the real property will escheat to the Illinois county it lies in. Transfer of title by will. A will is an instrument made by an owner to convey title to real or personal property after the owner's death. A will is a testamentary instrument, that is, it takes effect only after death. This differs from a deed, which must be delivered during the lifetime of the grantor and conveys a present interest in property. While the testator, the person who makes a will, is alive, any property included in the will can still be conveyed by the owner. The parties named in a will have no rights or interests as long as the party who made the will lives. They acquire interest or title only after the owner's death. Only property owned by the testator at the time of death may be transferred by will. The gift of real property by will is known as a devise, and a person who receives property by will is known as a devisee. The gift of personal property by will is known as a legacy or a bequest, and a person who receives the personal property by will is known as a legatee or beneficiary. Probate. Legally, when a person dies, ownership of real estate immediately passes either to the heirs by descent or to the persons named in the will. Before these individuals can take full title and possession of the property, however, the estate must go through probate and claims against the estate must be satisfied. For title to pass to the devisees, state laws require that upon the death of a testator, the will must be filed with the court and probated. Probate is a legal procedure for verifying the validity of a will and accounting for the decedent's assets. The process can take several months to complete. Upon the death of a testator, the will must be filed and a petition for probate initiated in the circuit court of the county in which the decedent resided. For 6 months after the executor has been appointed and the decedent's property has been inventoried, claims may be presented to the executor for debts owed by the deceased. On completion of probate, the executor's final account is filed with the court and the executor is discharged. The real estate is considered free from debts, claims, or taxes of the decedent. Probate proceedings. Probate is a formal judicial process that proves or confirms the validity of a will, determines the precise assets of the deceased person, and identifies the persons to whom the assets are to pass. The purpose of probate is to see that the assets are distributed correctly. All assets must be accounted for, and the decedent's debts must be satisfied before any property is distributed to the heirs. In addition, estate taxes must be paid before any distribution. Any probate proceedings will take place in the county in which the decedent resided. If the decedent owned real estate in another county, probate would occur in that county as well. Legal requirements for making a will. Any person 18 or older who is of sound mind and memory may make a will. A will must be in writing and signed and declared by the maker, the testator, in the presence of two or more witnesses to be her last will and testament. Witnesses cannot be beneficiaries under the will because their gifts will likely be voided by the probate court. A codicil is a modification of an amendment of, or an addition to a previously executed will and may be set forth in a separate document. A holographic will is written in the testator's own handwriting. A nuncupative will, such as a deathbed bequest, is given orally by a testator and is for personal property. Illinois courts do not recognize holographic wills or nuncupative wills unless also witnessed by two people in each case. In Illinois, while an individual may freely disinherit children or other previously named heirs, a surviving spouse may not be disinherited by the decedent's spouse. A surviving spouse who is disinherited by the decedent has a statutory right to renounce the will and claim a share of the estate, as follows. If the deceased left no child or descendants of a child, one half of the personal estate and one half of each parcel of real estate goes to the spouse if claimed. If the deceased left spouse and descendants, one-third of the personal estate and one-third of each parcel of real estate go to the spouse if claimed. The will remains operative with respect to the balance of the estate. Transfer of title by descent. When a person dies intestate, without leaving a valid will, her state's law of descent governs how and to whom her property will be distributed. The Illinois Law of Descent and Distribution, in the Illinois Probate Act, provides that real estate located in Illinois owned by a deceased resident or non-resident who did not leave a valid will is distributed as follows. Spouse, no children, spouse gets 100%. Spouse gets 50%, children get equal shares of the remaining 50%. If a child is dead, then the children, grandchildren of the dead spouse, get the dead mother's or father's share. No spouse, no children, family members, father, mother, brothers, sisters of the dead spouse, get equal shares. If a father or mother of the spouse is dead, the surviving spouse gets the dead mother's or father's share. If both parents of the dead spouse are also dead, the brothers and sisters get equal shares. No spouse, no children, no immediate family members, surviving relatives inherit the dead spouse's property. No heirs, property escheats to the county in which the property is located. The estate of an intestate decedent must be probated to determine which statutory heirs will inherit, as well as to inventory the assets of and claims against the estate. Any heir or another interested person may petition the circuit court of the county in which the decedent last resided to probate the estate. Proof of heirship must be presented to the court. Probate generally proceeds as if the decedent had left a valid will. Once the heirs have been determined, the court appoints an administrator or a personal representative to administer the affairs of the estate, the role usually taken by an executor. Once all obligations have been satisfied, The representative distributes the remaining property according to the terms of the will or the state's law of descent. Real estate documents. Public records. Public records contain detailed information about each parcel of real estate in a city or county. These records are crucial in establishing ownership, giving notice of encumbrances, and establishing priority of liens. They protect the interests of real estate owners, taxing bodies, creditors, and the general public. The real estate recording system includes written documents that affect title, such as deeds and mortgages. Public records are maintained by recorders of deeds, county clerks, county treasurers, city clerks, collectors, and clerks of court. In Illinois, the recorder of deeds, county clerk, county treasurer, city clerk, and collector, and clerks of various courts maintain these records. Public records are just that, open to the public. This means that anyone interested in a particular property can review the records to learn about the documents, claims, and other issues that affect its ownership. A prospective purchaser, for example, needs to be sure that the seller can convey title to the property. If the property is subject to any liens or other encumbrances, a prospective buyer or lender will want to know. Recording. Recording is the act of placing documents in the public record. Any written document that affects any estate, right, title, or interest in land must be recorded in the county where the land is located to serve as public notice. That way, anyone interested in the title to a parcel of property will know where to look to discover the various interests of all other parties. Illinois law does not require that most documents be filed or recorded within a specified period of time. In Illinois, however, when creditors and subsequent purchasers do not actually know the content of the documents affecting certain real estate interests, the courts will hold these creditors and purchasers responsible for discovering, knowing that information only as of the date on which the documents are recorded. Tax deeds, by Illinois law, must be recorded within 1 year after the redemption period expires. A tax deed that is not recorded or filed within 1 year becomes null and void. As a matter of Illinois law, no instrument affecting title to real property may include any provision prohibiting recording. Any such prohibiting provision is void. The original document must be filed with the county recorder of deeds and must meet specific requirements, in addition to the 9 requirements of a valid deed. Grantor's name typed or printed below his signature. Full address of the grantee. Name and address of the person who prepared the deed. Permanent tax index number, required only in some counties. Common address of the property, required only in some counties. Completed real estate transfer declaration. Proof of payment of the state and county transfer taxes or indication of an applicable exemption. Proof of payment of the municipal transfer tax, if applicable, a deed in any language other than English, although valid between the parties, does not give constructive notice unless an official English translation of the document is attached at the time of recording. The translation must be prepared by a credible source, such as the local consulate of a country in which the language is used. Constructive notice. This is the legal presumption that information may be obtained by an individual through due diligence, consulting the public documents. Properly recording documents in the public record serves as constructive notice to the world of an individual's rights or interest, as does the physical possession of a property. Because the information or evidence is readily available to the world, a prospective purchaser or lender is responsible for discovering the interest. Actual notice. This means not only that the information is available, but also that someone has been given the information and actually knows it. An individual who has searched the public records and inspected the property has actual notice. Buyer does this when he or she tours the property when looking at properties and shortly before closing, also known as direct knowledge. If it can be proved that an individual has had actual notice of information, that person cannot use a lack of constructive notice, such as an unrecorded deed, to justify a claim. Constructive notice, could or should know with reasonable inquiry, actual notice, knows for certain by personal service priority. Priority refers to the order of rights in time, Many complicated situations can affect the priority of rights in a parcel of real estate, who recorded first, which party was in possession first, who had actual or constructive notice. How the courts rule in any situation depends, of course, on the specific facts of the case. These are strictly legal questions that should be referred to the party's attorneys. Unrecorded documents. Certain types of liens are not recorded. Real estate taxes and special assessments are liens on specific parcels of real estate and usually are not recorded at the time. They become effective January 1st each year for Illinois real estate taxes, until sometime after the taxes or assessments are past due. Inheritance taxes and franchise taxes are statutory liens. They are placed against all real estate owned by a decedent at the time of death or by a corporation at the time the franchise taxes became a lien. Like real estate taxes, they are not recorded. In Illinois, a mechanic's lien that has not been recorded may nonetheless still have priority over other liens that have been recorded. Chain of title. A chain of title is the record of a property's ownership. Beginning with the earliest owner, title may pass to many individuals. Each owner is linked to the next so that a chain is formed. An unbroken chain of title can be traced through linking conveyances from the present owner back to the earliest recorded owner. Chain of title does not include liens and encumbrances, or any other document not directly related to ownership. If ownership cannot be traced through an unbroken chain, a gap or cloud in the chain of title is said to exist. In these cases, the cloud on the title makes it necessary to establish ownership by a court action called a suit to quiet title. Often, the simple procedure of obtaining any relevant quitclaim deeds is used to clear title and establish ownership. Title search and abstract of title. A title search is an examination of all of the public records to determine whether any defects exist in the chain of title. The records of the conveyances of ownership are examined, beginning with the present owner. Normally, the route is considered to be 40 years. Under most circumstances, then, it is necessary to search only from the current owner to the root. For normal title searches in Illinois, the search goes back 40 years under the Illinois Marketable Title Act. When the possibility of litigation exists, the search must go back 75 years. A title search usually is not ordered until after the major contingencies in a sales contract have been cleared, for instance, after a loan commitment has been secured. Before providing money for a loan, a lender or the attorney orders a title search to ensure that no lien is superior to its mortgage lien. In most cases, the cost of the title search in Illinois is paid by the seller. An abstract of title is a summary giving details of the title deeds and documents that prove an owner's right to dispose of land, together with any encumbrances that relate to the property. The person who prepares this report is called an abstractor. The abstractor searches all the public records and then summarizes the various events and proceedings that affected the title throughout its history. The report begins with the original grant, or root, then provides a chronological list of recorded instruments. All recorded liens and encumbrances are included, along with their current statuses. A list of all of the public records examined is also provided as evidence of the scope of the search. Marketable title. Under the terms of the typical real estate sales contract, the seller is required to deliver marketable title to the buyer at the closing. To be marketable, a title must disclose no serious defects and not depend on doubtful questions of law or fact to prove its validity. Not expose a purchaser to the hazard of litigation or threaten the quiet enjoyment of the property, and convince a reasonably well-informed and prudent purchaser, acting on business principles and with knowledge of the facts and their legal significance, that he could sell or mortgage the property at a later time. Although a title that does not meet these requirements still could be transferred, it contains certain defects that may limit or restrict its ownership. A buyer cannot be forced to accept a conveyance that is materially different from the one bargained for in the sales contract. However, questions of marketable title must be raised by a buyer before acceptance of the deed. Once a buyer has accepted a deed with an unmarketable title, The only available legal recourse is to sue the seller under any covenants of warranty contained in the deed. Proof, assurance, of ownership. Proof of ownership is evidence that title is marketable. A deed by itself is not considered sufficient evidence of ownership in Illinois. Even though a warranty deed conveys the grantor's interest, it contains no proof of the condition of the grantor's title at the time of the conveyance. The grantee needs some assurance that yes, he actually is acquiring ownership and that the title is marketable. Certificate of Title. A certificate of title is a statement of opinion regarding title status on the date the certificate is issued. A certificate of title is not a full guarantee of ownership. Rather, it certifies the condition of the title's history based on an actual examination of the public records, a title search. The certificate may be prepared by a title company, a licensed abstractor, or an attorney. An owner, a mortgage lender, or a buyer may request the certificate. Although a certificate of title is used as evidence of ownership, it is not perfect. Unrecorded liens or rights of parties in possession cannot be discovered by a search of the public records. Hidden defects, such as transfers involving forged documents, incorrect marital information, incompetent parties, minors, or fraud cannot be detected. A certificate offers no defense against these defects because they are unknown. The person who prepares the certificate is liable only for negligence in preparing the certificate. Abstract and attorney's opinion of title. An abstract and attorney's opinion of title are used in some areas, including Illinois, as evidence of title. This is an opinion of title status based on a review of the abstract by an attorney. Similar to a certificate of title, the opinion of title does not protect against defects that cannot be discovered from the public records. Many buyers purchase title insurance to defend the title from these defects. Title insurance. Title insurance is a contract, insurance policy, under which the policyholder, buyer, is protected from losses arising from defects in the title. A title insurance company determines whether the title is insurable based on a review of the public records. If so, a policy is issued. Unlike other insurance policies that insure against future losses, title insurance protects the insured from an event that occurred before the policy was issued. Title insurance is considered the best defense assurance of title, since the title insurance company will defend any lawsuit based on an insurable defect and pay claims if the title proves to be defective. After examining the public records, the title company usually issues what may be called a preliminary report of title or a commitment to issue a title policy. This describes the type of policy that will be issued and includes the name of the insured party, the legal description of the real estate, the estate or interest covered, conditions and stipulations under which the policy is issued, and a schedule of all exceptions, including encumbrances and defects found in the public records and any known unrecorded defects. The premium for the policy is paid once, at closing. The maximum loss for which the company may be liable cannot exceed the face amount of the policy. When a title company makes a payment to settle a claim covered by a policy, the company generally acquires the right to any remedy or damages available to the insured. This right is called subrogation. An exception or defect noted in the title commitment may be waived or endorsed by the title company, with the submission of credible supporting evidence. The title company may charge additional fees for the waiver or endorsement. A title insurance policy is the most commonly used evidence assurance that an owner of Illinois real property tenders to a prospective purchaser or lender as proof of good title in order to induce the buyer to purchase the property. Careful listing agents often request a copy of the first page of a title insurance policy for their files so as to be certain those selling a property have the right to do so. The Illinois Title Insurance Act requires that parties to a contract for the sale of residential real property who are obligated to provide and pay for title insurance have the right to choose the title insurance company and title insurance agent that will provide the title insurance. No lender or producer of title business, as a condition of making the loan or providing services of any kind, require a party to a residential sales contract and who is obligated by that contract to furnish and pay for title insurance at their expense, to procure title insurance from a title insurance company that is not chosen by the party paying for the insurance. Statute ILCS 155-3 Owner's Title Insurance Policy Coverage. Exactly which defects the title company will defend depends on the type of policy. A standard coverage policy normally insures the title as it is known from the public records. In addition, the standard policy insures against such hidden defects as forged documents, conveyances by incompetent grantors, incorrect marital statements, and improperly delivered deeds. Extended coverage, as provided by an American Land Title Association, ALTUSA policy, includes the protections of a standard policy plus additional protections. Most lenders require extended coverage title policies. An extended or ALTA policy protects a homeowner against defects that may be discovered by inspection of the property, i.e., rights of parties in possession, examination of a survey, and certain unrecorded liens. An extended title insurance policy would offer the buyer protection against secret liens, such as unrecorded mechanics liens, and also is required by most lenders. Title insurance does not offer guaranteed protection against all defects. A title company will not insure a bad title or offer protection against defects that clearly appear in a title search. The policy generally names certain uninsurable losses, called exclusions. These include zoning ordinances, restrictive covenants, easements, certain water rights, and current taxes and special assessments. Lenders of buyers, title insurance policy. A lender's policy is issued for the benefit of the mortgage company. This policy is usually paid for by the buyer at the closing. The amount of the coverage depends on the amount of the mortgage loan. As the loan balance is reduced, the coverage decreases.